Christ is risen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our psalm, the 23rd psalm. I don't think any image of our Lord and his relationship with his people is more personal than the image of Jesus as shepherd and we as his sheep. From all my years in service, the psalm that is most requested for funerals is the 23rd psalm. It is probably the favorite psalm of most of us here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When I was a kid, I didn't know what that meant. I shall not want my shepherd. But then I got older and realized that it means I shall not lack for any good thing because the Lord is my shepherd. We hear of this beautiful relationship of God and his sheep in the Old Testament reading. We heard of it today in the epistle reading. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And of course, John's Gospel, chapter 10, is the fulfillment of the 23rd Psalm, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So why do you suppose this image is so meaningful to us? Perhaps it's because in a world that is as troubled as ours, we appreciate this picture of a shepherd with his sheep in the peace and calm of a lush green pasture beside a pleasant still lake. And so the 23rd Psalm, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In fact, one of the meanings of that word pastoral is charmingly simple, Irene, idyllic. Or maybe we like this message because of how we view sheep. We see them as gentle and innocent creatures without fierce teeth and sharp claws. Their wool is soft and clean and fresh. We like to picture Jesus as the good shepherd and we as his clean, innocent, wonderful sheep. Beautiful picture. If only more of us knew what sheep were really like, we might feel a bit more sheepish about being called sheep by our Lord. Laura Ingalls Wilder writes in her book, Farmer Boy, she gives us a more realistic look of sheep. In the chapter called Sheep Shearing, she describes a process of taking the wool from the sheep. The first thing that you have to do is give the sheep a good, thorough washing because they are not clean and soft and fluffy. You see, all that thick wool picks up a lot of dirt and crud and sticks and debris as the sheep wanders from place to place. And they're not cats. They don't clean themselves. When it comes to us as clean and soft, that wool actually starts out as filthy and dirty. The sheep have to be scrubbed, and then they have to be immediately sheared, because what does the sheep want to do? Wants to go right back out and get muddy again. Those who tend to sheep know that they have other unpleasant characteristics as well. Sheep are prone to wander from the flock. They see some green grass, and off they go. And then they get lost, because their eyesight's so bad they can't find their way back. And to top it off, sheep are also stubborn, willful, and often foolish creatures. Now, you know, we think of the filthy old pigs in the barnyard as filthy old pigs, but they're the smartest animals in the barnyard. And the sheep, well, they're known as the dumbest. An example of the stubborn foolishness of sheep can be found in the Highlands of Scotland. Highlander sheep often wander onto rocky ledges. Dangerous places for them, but they like them because the grass there is sweet and tender and untouched. And then they sometimes jump down off those ledges because they see another ledge with grass. But then they're stuck. They eat all the grass, and then they're hungry and thirsty, and they start crying for help because they cannot jump back up off the ledge. But the problem is, the shepherd can't rescue the sheep right away. If the shepherd jumps down there to try to rescue the sheep, well, the sheep just runs away. And where does it run? But off the cliff. So he has to wait until the sheep is hungry and thirsty and tired and lays down and is too tired to move. Then he will drop a rope around the sheep and he will lift it back out to safety. The truth is, God calls us sheep because we are prone to wander. We are prone to seek other pastures and other shepherds. We are prone to look for those things that are more appealing to us than the joy of God's word. Perhaps something as hurtful is said to us and away we go. Perhaps we experience something bad in our lives, the sudden death of a loved one, or the rejection by someone we like, and away we go. Or perhaps we catch sight of greener grass over on that next ridge. What I'm referring to is those worldly philosophies and religions that tickle our itching ears and appeal to our desire to sin, and away we go. The result is we wander from God's flock and God's house and God's word and our good shepherd. We wander because we're angry at a fellow believer, or we're angry at the pastor, or we're angry with God. We wander because our faith is weak and we desire more than the simple goodness of the forgiveness of sins. We think we need more from God than that. We wander because we're lured away by the words and promises of men, promises of an easy life, of wealth and health, or promises of easy commandments, rules that are a lot easier to keep and follow than God's Ten Commandments. But things don't go well for wandering sheep. We turn our backs on God and suffer for it, and then wonder why God has turned his back on us. We reject the teachings of God's word and then wonder why life is hopeless and unbearable as we suffer the consequences of disobedience. We find ourselves betrayed by the empty promises of false prophets and teachers. And next thing we know, we find ourselves spiritually empty, alone, lost, and crying. Isaiah said it well. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And while we go away, we ignore our shepherd's call. Until tragedy strikes, or until we hit rock bottom. Once we've wandered from the flock, there isn't much the good shepherd can do. We're rebelling. And as long as we are in that state of rebellion, we do not have ears that hear or hearts that believe in Jesus. We're lost until the Holy Spirit shows us our sins and our need for a Savior. And Jesus speaks of this condition in the Gospel of Mark. He says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." The righteous are those sheep who've wandered from the flock and think they're doing just fine without Jesus. The sinners are those who know the emptiness of their condition, repent of their sins, and cry out for mercy. Like those Highlander sheep stuck on a ledge, dying. That's when we need Jesus. And that's the very people Jesus seeks to save. And even if we don't wander from the flock, we Christians have an amazing ability to pick up dirt from our surroundings. How often do we find that our thoughts and words and deeds do not reflect the mind of Christ, but reflect instead the attitude of our unbelieving neighbors? How often do we give in to peer pressure so we're not the target of teasing or abuse? In other words, how often do we do what is wrong because we don't want to be ridiculed for it? How often do we hide our faith in Jesus because we're more afraid of men than of God, of ridicule than of praising his name in our lives? Walking through the valley of the shadow of death is a reality that we all must face. But when we begin to walk like those who are spiritually dead, then our faith is in peril and our good confession is compromised. Instead of luxuriating in the cleansing power of God's word and the spiritual blessings that he pours into our cup, we covet the material luxuries of this world. And because we covet, we are never content. And that is the devil's lie. The more he gives you, the more you want. And you are never happy. We always want to have greener pastures, bigger barns, better cars, and louder praises from our bosses and friends. But then there's the other hand, too, where instead of trusting God to vindicate us in the presence of our enemies, well, we smear our enemies, we slander our enemies, we speak evil against them, and then we rejoice when they fall onto bad times. And that's when our fleeces become more like the hide of wolves. In reality, left to our own desires, we're dirty sheep who like to stray. And we don't like to be found. The purpose of God's law is to show us how far we stray, to show us how dirty our wool has become. The purpose of God's law is to show us the filth and mess that sin has wrought into our lives. But that's all the law can do. Once we realize that we are lost, we cannot rescue ourselves. Though we're lost and dirty sheep, stubborn and foolish, know this. God has not abandoned us and left us to die. God doesn't leave his people. God's people leave God. But God doesn't leave his people. He loves you just the same. Whether you're here in church or you're out fishing or golfing, God loves you just the same. And you know this because of the radical step he took to save you from your sins. And one of the great paradoxes of Holy Scripture, the Lord, the shepherd of his sheep, the King of salvation, became a lamb, a sacrificial lamb to pay the price for sin, to save you from sin. Did you hear the words of Apostle Peter today? He himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The good shepherd becomes the sacrificial lamb of God to save wandering sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus left the joy and beauty, power and majesty of his heavenly home to come to this earth to seek and save sinners, lost sheep. His search for lost sheep took him to a lowly virgin in Nazareth, to a cave in Bethlehem. He lived a poverty-stricken life and gave up everything on the cross to save you, his sheep. Jesus conquered our stubborn willfulness by yielding his own will in complete obedience to his heavenly Father. Obedience that took him to the cross. Jesus is the Lamb of God because he came to shed his blood. The very blood that washes you clean of sin. That washes your fleece and makes it white as snow. Jesus emptied the cup of his own life so that he could fill your cup with everlasting life. Yes, Jesus is your good shepherd because he gave himself for your sins. But he's also your good shepherd because he desires what is best for you. That doesn't mean he's going to give you what is best in terms of the world or temporal things. Often those things don't help your faith. But what Jesus promised to give you that is the best is spiritual and eternal blessings. You see, false prophets only promise you what is earthly and temporal. But Jesus has given you what is true and lasting. He makes you to lie down in the greenest pastures, What better food can any person receive than the very body and blood Jesus gave and shed for the forgiveness of sins? He leads you by the most peaceful and quiet of waters. Well, I hope those waters make you think about the waters of baptism, where an enemy of God emerges a friend of God, at peace with God, because you have been reconciled to God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. All that given to you in the waters of holy baptism. And Jesus is your good shepherd too, because he knows each of you intimately, as well as any earthly shepherd knows his sheep. You know, Jesus knows your every wart and imperfection, your every thought and secret sin, your every weakness and frailty. And the amazing thing is that even though he knows you better than you know yourself, he still loves you. He still died for you, and he still desires to have you with him in heaven. So he leads you and guides you through your way in this perilous world, so that you may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, that you may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So on this Good Shepherd Sunday, let us give thanks that our Good Shepherd indeed became the sacrificial lamb that saves us dirty, wandering sheep. And because of Jesus, we are God's sheep. So when we come together each Lord's Day, we come together as his flock. What a great and wonderful blessing. For Jesus is here. He is here as your one and only good shepherd. He speaks and you listen. He leads and you follow. You hurt and he comforts you. You rejoice and he rejoices with you. You sin and he rebukes you. You repent, and he forgives you. You believe in him, and he gives you eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.